Scarcity of such pious assisted by his own sons, like Jamma and Abedenga and other demigods, Luri, that they ruled the administration of the universal affairs. Only again, Taman, the Shaganaga, and the Sakara Chakshara, and the Kamananka, and the Shigurivana, the Shukha Taman, and the Stam, the Stapa Taman, the Shigurivana, 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 Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Vidam, 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 Well, that is a sign of the New Year's Day crowd. But Krishna had another plan. And sometimes you might see sitting over here with instruments, well, there's sort of a physical prayer that may be an instrument in your activities. So yesterday, after a sudden service was performed, I looked at my phone, which is unusual, but there was a lull in the day. So I looked, and there was a text asking me if I would kindly bow out on Wednesday because Rosh Hashanah will be coming and speaking in Greenwich. And somehow or other, the Monday option opened, right? The brother's class. And then I thought, okay, well, that's Krishna's arrangement, and I'll just fix up the right. Who am I to argue or deny? It's fate, karma, destiny, right? It's Krishna's desire. That's probably. So I thought, let's look. In fact, I text back, I will immediately prepare, which somehow or other Krishna gave me an opportunity. So I looked at this verse and I thought, well, no wonder Brother didn't want to give the class. There's nothing there. Because most people give a class on, you know, trying to find historical roots, and then they read, and they read, and they read, and they read, and then they fluster and flubber, and then they have the notes and spill them on the floor. But I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to do it to you. I don't want to do it to me. So the concept of this yagya, we don't know very much about it, right? Except yagya puru, she's the controller and enjoyer of all sacrifices. Yagya means sacrifice. And then there's one really simple reference in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, text 10, that at the beginning of creation, and that's the reference here, chronologically speaking, the beginning, is the Swayambhuva Manas, the first of the Manas, that the Lord of all creatures put forth, presented sacrifice and said, he says, now, be happy and be satisfied and prosper by this sacrifice. And then Krishna quotes, in this chapter. And actually the quotation goes on until he makes a reference to Arjuna. But in our editions of Bhagavad Gita, the quote is simply text 10. So he put forth this Lord of all creatures, his precepts, sacrifice. In other words, life as it's intended by the Supreme Personality of God is one sacrifice. And sacrifice has many forms. Right? Charity is a form of sacrifice, but it's in a different category. And austerity and penance, which are synonyms, they are also a form of sacrifice. And for example, if people have to sacrifice their time to listen to another person, and that's austere. Right? For example, the austerity of you sitting in this room at this time could be very austere. Right? I find it extremely austere just to stay away from it. But this is charity, because if you give attention to the scripture and others, then in the future, your karmic reaction is that attention will be given to you. In other words, the scripture will deliver a poignant message and the very kind-hearted, charitably disposed, loving devotees will also be able to monitor your life on your behalf, yeah, and encourage you. That's an option, purchase option. After Sesha Prabhu was discussing yesterday in the afternoon about everybody wants to be happy. So the reason I wasn't able to agree, because of course everyone prefers happy. But happiness isn't consistent in the material world. And then he made a nice reference that one who experiences happiness within, who's satisfied within, and he performs sacrifice within, what's that? We're not in touch with it most. But when one is introspective and one looks within others, or cares about the inner person with respect, you know, this perspect, prospect, prospect is a look at your body, look at your mood, and then introspect and respect is again look within and see there's an eternal spirit soul, and that eternal spirit soul has needs, and their hankerings are far different caliber than the genuine needs of shelter and food and affection. Yeah, they were quite different. And then that's why we recite the spirit, not just about the physics stuff, why did you bring your friends? Why did you bring your friends? Because my desire is that there should be a room full of people. Yeah? But that's a physical manifestation. Actually, the room is full of the friends. Right? But the more friends that are here, the better. That's a fulfillment of my desire. But you are giving me an opportunity to glorify the scripture, glorify Krishna. We start with the conclusion in this chapter. I mean, we can talk about it randomly, about these incomplete lists of incarnations. Srila Prabhupada admits this throughout the chapter, near the conclusion, is a limitless source of incarnations. And the example is, I found it parallel with the impacting of Ganges on this planet, that from the source of the Ganges, which is now considered a glacier that's melting, or something like that, there's a limitless amount of water gushing out and creating rivers and rivulets. So all these, and each one of the rivers and rivulets has layers, and every one of the layers can be carried as an incarnation. In fact, in chapter 9, text 17, is a list of incarnations in your family that Krishna expands into your father, mother, sister, brother, your puppy dog. You know, everybody is Krishna in a way. They're there. The energy with which we interact is all Krishna. And Krishna has expanded himself for his own pleasure into multiple forms. And we all struggle with our, you know, you took away the second garland, that was my alter ego. Everybody has ego, alter ego, or we call it false ego. And then there's the true ego, the soul. And the actual identity of the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna. And then there's the one that serves your body, your family, and the puppy dog. Right? All that goes along with an identity. Right? I'm the owner of the car in the parking lot. I have the key. That's me. When the police stop you, they're not going to be satisfied with a humble message. They want to see your license with a picture. That's different forms of identity. So, the objective of spiritual life is to shake off false premise. And Lord Chaitanya has created a sacrifice that surpasses all previous sacrifices. It costs nothing. It doesn't even need a match to light it. Right? And it can be performed practically anywhere. And that's the Yuga Dharma, the Hainam Sankirtan. Sankirtan Yagya. Right? It can be in the form of book distribution or simply singing. So that's where it was sort of a footnote about the all-nighter. On New Year's Eve, there's an all-nighter. And then the somehow a few straggler learners who managed to make their way into Gainesville and try to bestow Krishna's mercy upon drunkards, or those who were almost drunk. That's why the schedule of the higher man is from 8 to 10, unless it goes really good. Because after 10, people are loaded. And when they're loaded, even though they will dance and sing more, they're not so repentant. So it's better to break away around that time. And then there are many reasons. And then also on the 2nd of January, you could consider a New Year's resolution, if you like. You see, I brought the best reference book for reading Gopa's books today. And there are many words that we use, and Krishna speaks in the voice of the translation as language to the Bhagavad, that are not very easy to understand unless you look at the depth of the definition. There are many, many definitions. Sometimes the single word that you accept, but if you look, there's 6 or more definitions, alternative uses. And because of the poetic quality of the Vedas, many times all of the definitions are applicable. Oh, simultaneously, all of the definitions of a single word are applicable. Because that's poetry. You're playing one meaning against the other meaning. The yoga, personification of sacrifice. But that's not really, although the 7th incarnation in this list. When I was a boy, and you can just have to imagine, when I was a boy, we had a 1923 copyright dictionary on the shelf. And when I first got sort of interested in Krishna consciousness, then I looked up Krishna in the dictionary. And I look up Ramachandra in the dictionary, and then listed in a European list goes more like the Dasa Avatar. So the list was, numbers were different. And this is, Lord Ramachandra was the 7th incarnation, and Krishna was the 8th incarnation. But you see, the numbers are not that important. And then later in the chapter, as I mentioned before, they said incompleteness. The essence of this purport really is that despite piety in the heavenly planets, there's not always a fully qualified person to administer. And so Krishna, expansion, Vishnu himself, incarnates as Brahma.
Indra.
Prajapati or Indra. And now if we have recollection of having gone through the Bhagavatam before, there's several anecdotes or narratives about an Indra, because Indra is a post who runs into trouble. Of course, the most famous one is around Govardhan Krishna. So Krishna mercifully intercedes in an administrative position because this particular Indra is full of pride. And why not? He's surrounded by people that think he's the best one. And then the people on earth are offering him sacrifices. So he's elevated, exalted, glorified, right? So when some talkative boy starts offering him, he twists it and he becomes vindictive. He wants revenge. And then he makes accusations about Krishna, which, interestingly enough, in a psychological school, when someone is equipped with certain shortcomings, they often find those shortcomings in others. So he accuses Krishna and the village of Vrindavan for having followed this Krishna as being full of pride. It's very interesting because he faces his own pride in this way. Because the only authority for a person with pride is their own mouth. The only person they actually hear is their own voice. That's why if you have an issue with someone, if you probe their mentality by questions, when they answer, they listen to the answer. If you accuse them, then you're also accused in a manner. If you bring the subject up and inquire submissively, and then the person who has resources, especially the person who has resources to the data, they will delve into their memory bank and find corrective measure for others that they are saying apply to themselves. But this is this place I often perspire here. Rarely perspire anywhere else. Somehow I'm cool except when I'm living for the movie things. When I sit here, I get really, really hot. If I perform on a stage, my body gets really hot. And because it's an act of giving, and there's an effort in giving. Plus, whatever I said has to be real, and whatever I said has to be played out in my own life. And that creates a lot of friction with someone who's as lazy and misguided and disturbed as I am. And I have to confront my own weakness in order to provide a strong message to you, and then I have to play it out in my life. And this is a form of sacrifice. So, who is qualified to be Indra? Who is qualified to be Brahma? Who is qualified to be anyone? Of course, Krishna. He's completely qualified. And by prayer and the well-wishers of others, and that's called blessings in Sanskrit service, with the blessings of others, it's possible to become qualified. The peculiarity here is that although Krishna is behind all of creation and the essence of the entire volume, of course it's originally three volumes, but this canto is creation, and the stages of creation have what appears to be defect. There aren't sufficient number of qualified people. But Krishna steps up for the situation. For example, again, in another pastime, Krishna incarnates multiple things. He appears in multiple forms in one pastime, and it's familiar to most of us because we just read it a few months ago, churning the ocean of milk. He's there, and he gives instructions as Vishnu, don't quarrel. He tells the demigod, don't quarrel. Whatever the demons want, let them have. And then they combine together. But the hill, when they're trying to carry it, the hill crushes them, some of them. And he picks it up. And he puts it in his bag. And when they start to churn it, it digs a hole in the sea. So he elevates it as the back of Korma. Again, Vishnu, Krishna. Right? This one is one of the Asavas. Right? Also Leela, this is Leela. Despite the pleasant scratching on Korma's back, still the demigods are struggling like anything. And of course, there are many interesting sub-stories to it. For example, don't argue with the demons. The demons say, why, you're taking the head of this snake. You know, we take the tail, it's a low position. Okay, so the demons are putting up a measurement, and the demigod says, you take the head, it's good. And we'll take the tail. Fantastic. Of course, Vasuki is also an incarnation of Krishna, according to his explanation of his various forms in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Vasuki, the chief of the snake. So when the demons take the head and they're pulling, and by the strenuous pulling of the snake, Vasuki emits fire from his mouth, and the demons are scorched. So there, if you look at that, there's an analogy. If the demons get their way, how will they utilize it? And there will be some punishment involved. The strain is there. Despite their effort, still they weren't able to churn the sea properly. Vishnu appears above the hill. Maybe in Garuda, but it's not explained that way. The illustration we have is he's sitting on the hill and it becomes buoyant. But then if you look at the description in the Bhagavatam itself, with his hand, he turns the hill. So floating above, and he's churning over the thing. And as he turns, out comes a horse, right? Which is Uchashrava, which Krishna says he's also hidden in the 10th chapter. And then Airavata comes up. And then I was wondering about this. What happened to Uchashrava? I don't know. But Indra ends up with Airavata as his carrier. And it's strange. No detail about it, maybe someone knows who, right? But Airavata is interesting. And then Dhammantari. Dhammantari is, in a couple more verses, we had an explanation. Dhammantari appears with Krishna again. And then, look, in order to dispense the nectar of immortality, he appears, it's stated right here in the next couple of verses, he appears as the most provocative woman. Because Krishna is always provocative. Because the word provocative means it promotes provocative vocalizing. It promotes glorification. Krishna is the most provocative of all. If you read any of his passages, he's provocative. But of course, contemporary, what would you call it? Colloquialism has taken the word provocative to mean an attractive woman. But of course, an attractive woman provokes. But the most provocative woman is Mohini Rupa. And she's provocative because Krishna's there. Now, going back, the essence here is that when there is a shortage of qualified people in order to administer, then Krishna himself appears. And we then, now let me precede this better. In a sporting mood, let me present sporting mood, that oftentimes our administrative body, for as an international or global society, is full of people who are simply willing to do the service. In many cases, historically, it's a default person. Actually, in a way, they're the most qualified. They don't want to be administrator. They don't have managerial training, necessarily. And they may scramble to get some. But because of their humility, and because of their willingness, and because of their own sincere prayer, then they, by providence, end up in a very influential position. Administrative body, like Indra or Brahma, is a very influential person. But unless they're qualified internally with the qualifications of the Vaishnava, I mean, that means fully qualified, then havoc will be the result. Havoc will be the result. And we've experienced havoc. Right? And that's because managerial people are not assertive with themselves. And they don't realize that it's a great sacrifice in order to promote the highest possible standard. And the highest possible standard is given by these books. Krishna's will is the highest standard. But here, if you look at the word standard, there isn't really a high or low standard. I had an argument with a devotee in the bathroom. Not over here. Another bathroom. I said, boy, you people use this bathroom all the time, it's disgusting. And they said, well, it's not clean by your standard. I said, it's not clean. Clean is clean. And not clean is not the standard. Right? Clean is clean. The argument went around, and he held a grudge for a long time. It was unfortunate. And I felt really bad for imposing my graffiti on the wall. But it's still there. When I go back to that bathroom, probably still there. Because who would clean it off the wall? But after the argument, kind of on hands and knees and many other peculiar postures, in order to reach in behind and under and around and behind and try to create the standard. The standard. The word standard really means a measurement. And it's like a ruler. So you can argue with the ruler as much as you want. You can say, well, shouldn't it be a little longer or should it be a little shorter? But the ruler is just what the ruler is. Right? And we don't have a problem. We, those of you who are assembled in this room with the ruler. Right? We're not unruly. Administration doesn't have to deal with rulers, people who follow the rules. It's those who stretch the rule out of shape and throw the rule away and break the rule. Right? There are rulers that are broken. And it's not just the person in the administrative position. You know my attitude on this. It's the responsibility of any person who is Krishna conscious. That's why the branch of opportunities come. It's so applicable. And we usually exercise it with non-devotional. You see, oh, this person is so unfortunate, doesn't have Krishna consciousness. So you extract them from the, where they land in a pool of material nature, you pull them out, and you sort of dry them off, and say, Hargo. And now, once they didn't say Hargo, you leave them alone. The people that say Hargo need the whole mantra most of the time. They need to be reminded to chant the entire mantra, and they need to be reminded that the ruler has 12 full inches for, you know, we can do it metrically if you'd like. If you prefer, we can do it metrically. It doesn't matter to you. The ruler is a ruler. I have a ruler. I bought a ruler when I was in Japan. So it's not a ruler. It's a ruler that is measures what's called scuba. It's sort of like a cubit. The Japanese have a ruler that's like a cubit. And it's a measurement of their architectural structure. But that rule is how they build all the buildings and how they furnish everything. So if I brought an inch ruler into the scene, they would throw the ruler away. It doesn't apply. Well, modern practice of Krishna consciousness has a simple standard. 4 regulatory principles, 5 regulatory principles. Right? One is chant 16 rounds minimum on beat. Right? That's considered a regulatory principle. And then there are sub-regulatory principles. So, right? Cleanliness is one of them. Cleanliness is one of them. And then fighting off what the Bible refers to as the 7 deadly sins. They will kill you. These sins will kill you. We have the primary 3, which are the gates to hell. Right? Lust, anger, and greed. But there is lust, and there is anger, and there is greed that can be employed in Krishna consciousness. It can be employed. Even envy can be employed. If you go out on this high end, and you are so happy, people will envy you, and out of envy, they will approach you. Why are you so happy? It's a very good preaching practice. I'm happy because I'm not searching for something else to fill the gap. Now, the little argumentative aspect with Shesha Prabhu. And I've never seeked up on no problem. But at the end of chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, end is the end. End is near the end. These last 2 slokas read. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification and is free from desires and has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. Of course, peace is the platform by which one achieves some happiness. And then the last look is, that is the way of the spiritual and godly life. After attaining rich, man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, which means the last minute, one can attain, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So there, kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, a place where there's no anxiety. So in the material world, happiness is simply relief. It's just relief. But we can achieve by introspecting a method by which we're relieved of the pangs of material nature. The pangs of material nature are desire, in essence. Desire. It's a subtle form of conditioning. When you want to be happy, you're already foiled because that want is in your way. When you realize you're happy, when you are possibly satisfied with whatever Krishna provides, then because of peace is there, happiness is achieved. But when you're wrenching your brain to fulfill your desire, right? Or you're just, if I were only happy, it's still a desire. If I were only happy, are you peaceful? Oh, I have a desire. Oh, I have a desire. Okay, then you're not happy. Because you're not peaceful. It's pretty simple stuff. Even though happiness, Krishna says, happiness, he uses this word. What is the Sanskrit word? It's closer to at ease with the way things are going. At ease with the way things are going. There's no coincidence, especially in the devotees, but there's no coincidence. You can call it fate, you can call it karma, but it's actually providence. The hand of God in your life. How things work so well is due to your surrender mentality. In other words, you're no longer thinking human healing. Your mentality is surrender. You become peaceful. And from peace, realization and happiness is possible. That's why when you asked me, I said, it's an option. It's an option. In the material world, happiness is always an option. It depends on your mentality. It depends on your austerity. The austerity of practicing satisfaction. Now, I may have said this before. The word satisfaction is extremely interesting. The dictionary gives reference to this part, the part of the word, the essence of the word is sati. Sati. And the linguistic origin is Sanskrit. And the Sanskrit word sati means chase. Chase. And of course, the modern joke is either you're chased or you're chased. And people are chasing you or you're peaceful. So chase really means that you're not an infidel. You don't think about going away from Krishna. That you're content, not even content, you're fully surrendered. Now the word is trust, actually. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. And that something sublime is your eternal relationship with Krishna. That's a thing. Relationship is a thing. Not a person, not a place. It's a thing. Of course, thing in creative writing, the word thing is tossed out as a poison word. But it's something that you can't tangibly comprehend. Not a person, not a place. So the experience you have, that in a relationship, I'm just kind of bonded with you, right? Somehow, when you brought your child in here the other day, right? There was a nice exchange around the child. So there's a possibility of having a relationship with the father over here, right? So father, parenting, it's a relationship. Parenting brings out the best in everyone. Right? Absolutely brings out the best in everyone. It is peculiar. And that's in the five essential rasas with Krishna, the parental stands out among all. Even though it seems, or it's promoted as the highest, it's a madhurya rasa, the highest. Parental has the most broad spectrum of true love in it. There's no payoff. It's fully surrendered. But it's also guidance and care. So the devotees in greater society, they play a parental role for each other and for the poor, innocent, fallen, rascal, soul, farming, fruit of workers. Right? We ourselves are fruit of workers. it was of course given yesterday that above asceticism is yoga. And yoga means linking, simply means linking. When you're in your unbroken relationship with others, you feel very happy, you feel satisfied. But of course there's turmoil and trouble and problems to solve. But even they are approached with happiness. They're approached with this love, and that love, that gives everything a glow. It's illuminated. There's a lesson there for everyone. Okay, so now we talk about Madhurya Rasa for just a second. Madhurya Rasa is given, the translation is called conjugal love. So I've meditated on this. In English, we have this word conjugation. A conjunction between things. And then the list at the end is and. Right? And that's a conjunction, and. And is a conjunction. But in Madhurya Rasa, it's a full conjugal, which means if and yet, but. Right? There are a bunch of them, really a bunch of them. So you see, in the relationship with the gopis, it's so extraordinarily deep that they don't agree and they do agree. And sometimes they're willing to agree, but they don't, and then they give alternatives, so there's an or, right? And that's the conjugal love. It's the depth of a relationship. That's why you go crazy with your wife, because, you know, there's so many options. Oh, God, why can't it be simple? And then you have your child, and it's like pretty simple until they grow up, and then you change it. And then back to friendship. And friendship is really, really solid. And one maintains a friendly relationship with others, and true friendship is another form of love. Okay? And from that love, again, we feel satisfied. Even when we're dissatisfied with someone, we're confronted with our own weakness, and we know that's satisfying. Back to administrative body. I'm telling you, this is in sport of you. Okay? Every one of us is an administrator. But in order to be a proper administrator, we must be qualified. And don't think Krishna is going to incarnate and correct your life unless you invite him in. He is going to be there. He is present in your heart. And so, don't trouble him to make a separate incarnation as your brother or somebody else in your family to straighten everything out. In other words, when someone takes a high position of influence and control and guidance for others, it comes with tremendous responsibility. And responsibility means your ability to respond, not react. Respond. We close there. And if you all would like to discuss with one another the details, now, that'd be fine with me. But even though I'm equipped with thousands of dollars of robotics, I still can't understand what people say from the other side of the river. So you'll forgive me, and if you have some issue with what I said, you can talk with me one-on-one. I can do it up close. Or if you'd like to text me, you can text me and give me the business. 336-327-1998, or you can email me a long tirade. And make lots of references to scripture if you want. And then my email is misterdas, that's Mr. Das, misterdas@gmail.com. Pretty easy. So you're welcome to discuss among yourselves. Please don't let me interfere. Thank you very much for your attention. And now I'll just read the verse one more time. The seventh incarnation of the son of Prajapati Rishi and his wife Akriti. He controlled the period during the change of Swayamvara and was assisted by demigods such as his son Yama. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, oh, glorious to the assembled devotees.